My friends in Jesus Christ, to our graduating class of 2018, and to the staff and the and parents of our graduates today, and all our friends and family in Jesus Christ, grace and mercy and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus. The words of the Old Testament reading are where we'd like to focus our attention today, and if you'd like to follow along, I think they're going to be on the screen here. From Isaiah in the 6th chapter, the call of Isaiah. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim. Each had 6 wings. With 2 he covered his face, and with 2 he covered his feet, and with 2 he flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the foundations of the thresholds shook at the voice of him who called, and the house was filled with smoke. And I said, "Woe is me, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal that he had taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for." And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send and who will go for us?" Then I said, "Here am I. Send me." This is the word of God. Please be seated. The Lord was high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. As I was picturing this vision of Isaiah, trying to picture it in my mind's eye, I got to wondering, what have I ever seen in my lifetime that comes anywhere remotely close to anything like this vision of splendor and glory? And then it hit me. Donny Osmond. You guys know who don't know who Donny Osmond is, do you? Donny Osmond. And maybe it sounds a little bit blasphemous to be comparing the Lord God Almighty lifted high on his throne to a mere man like Donny Osmond, and a Mormon at that. But what I'm referring to here is when Donny played the part of Joseph in the Broadway production of a musical production of Joseph and His Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat, which we saw at the amazing and beautiful Fox Theater in Detroit. And the finale of this was incredible. The song was "Any Dream Will Do," and Donnie, Joseph, was surrounded by the entire cast as he is singing this song. There is a misty smoke that covers the stage, and then slowly Joseph begins to rise up above the stage, the train of his colorful coat following him, until that colorful train spanned the entire width of the stage at the Fox Theater, filled it with a room with just a rainbow of colors, and there was Donnie, Joseph, high and lifted up, 30, 40 feet up above the audience, the train of his robe filling the stage. It was just goosebumps everywhere. You know, it's one of those things, those times you get lost in the wonder of the moment, and every concern of the world just kind of fades away into nothingness. We were kind of blown away by that whole scene. What must it have been like to see the vision of the Lord God Almighty lifted up high on his throne, with the train of his robe filling the temple, and the seraphim worshiping with thunderous voice, and the thresholds shaking, and the smoke billowing? Actually, we don't have to wonder really what it was like. We know what it was like from Isaiah's response. It was frightening. Isaiah's response was not goosebumps and chills running up and down his spine. His response was a dry mouth, sweaty palms, and knocking knees as he cries out in sheer terror, "Woe is me, I have seen the Lord." Those are not the words that I would have used for the Dreamcoat finale, but then again, we saw Donny Osmond. Isaiah saw the Lord God of hosts. Why did Isaiah react that way? Well, for one thing, this was the year that King Uzziah died. And I know that doesn't mean much to you, except perhaps as an interesting historical footnote, or maybe for you just a boring historical footnote. But to Isaiah and to his people, you have to understand, to the Israelites, Uzziah's death was a national tragedy. Under his 52 years of rule, the nation of Israel had enjoyed a wonderful time of peace and prosperity, and his death left the people fearful of what the future might hold for their nation. Was the death of their king the end of Camelot? And that might sound familiar to you if you can remember 1963. When you hear those words in the year that Uzziah died, think the assassination of JFK. Or if you're not that old, think about the terror attacks of 9/11. Or if you're not that old, I don't know, maybe you'll experience that one day. But the death of Uzziah was that unsettling, that distressing. It was one of those moments in the lives of the Israelites when they would have remembered where they were when they heard the news and what they were wearing and what they were doing. It was that unsettling to them. And it was in that setting of human fear and loss and trepidation that Isaiah is given this vision that despite all of the evil that is in the world, despite all the terrible things that happen, despite the evil in our own lives, the ever-living praise of God continues in the worship of the seraphim. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. Now Isaiah was terrified upon hearing that song, because in the presence of God's great glory, the sinfulness of his own heart and of his people comes into crystal clear focus. You know, as long as we can keep God at a safe distance, at an arm's length, it can be very easy for us to convince ourselves that our fallen condition really isn't that bad. And we even use euphemisms for sin to try to hide just how bad it really is. Oh, that wasn't a sin that I committed. That was just a poor choice. It was a mistake. It was an indiscretion or a blunder. And the terrible things that happen in this world, those aren't the consequences of sin and evil. That's just the way the cookie crumbles. It's the way the ball bounces. It's how it goes. And it's easy to convince ourselves that our condition isn't all that bad. Until suddenly, King Uzziah dies, and evil and sin and death have rocked your world. And now imagine, in addition to that, suddenly finding yourself surrounded like Isaiah in a vision of God's great glory and holiness. And in the light of his holiness, even a prophet looks bad. And he feels ashamed as his sin and the sins of his people are brought into the light and come into sharp focus. When you are standing in the presence of God's holiness, there are no euphemisms that will hide the brutal reality of our condition in this year that King Uzziah died. How bad is it? Well, in this year, we discover that the president's lawyer paid hush money to a porn star. In this year, Tom Brokaw, Bill Cosby, Charlie Rose, and how many others are accused of sexual misconduct? In this year, a state mandates an LGBTQ history curriculum that puts sexual perversions in a positive light. And a 10-year-old boy is named as the grand marshal for a gay pride parade. In this year, when God's plan for sexuality and marriage are utterly disregarded and despised. In this year, when we ourselves have sworn and lied and gossiped and gotten drunk and lusted and coveted. And what are we going to say about all of that in the presence of God's holiness? It was just a little slip up. But God silences every mouth, Paul says in Romans, so that the whole world may be held accountable. And when we understand the true nature of our condition as we stand there in the presence of God's holiness, what can we say but, woe is me! I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. In the light of His holiness, it all becomes so crystal clear. I'm a mess. My sins have offended God, and so have the sins of my family and my community and my nation in this year that King Uzziah died. But thank God, that is not the end of the vision. God is gracious. And here's poor Isaiah trembling and fearful before the Lord. And now the Lord provides Isaiah a way by which he can now stand before him by a special cleansing with a hot coal from the altar to touch the very place that Isaiah had confessed was so soiled by sin. And with the touch of that coal, his lips are clean and he is clean. A baptism by fire. As the seraph says to him, your guilt is taken away and your sin is atoned for. And so too, he cleanses us in a baptism, not of fire and coal, but a baptism of water and the word for the forgiveness of our sins. And now clothed in his righteousness alone, we are faultless to stand before the throne. It is forgiven, folks. Your sin is no longer held against you. You may now stand in the very presence of a holy God, righteous in the righteousness of Christ, whom God put forth as the sacrifice for your sins. In His righteousness, we stand in the presence of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we join the song of the seraphim, singing without fear, that our God is holy, holy, holy. And then the Lord calls, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Who is going to broadcast this great good news to a dying race of men? Who will go? Who will answer that call? People of St. John, will you go? Will you go to your family, to your friends, to your little spheres of influence, and will you call them to repentant faith in the one who makes us holy in his blood? Graduates, will you go? You're leaving us now, ready to go to high school. Will you go there and stand up for Jesus? Will you tell your friends what you stand for? And how you've been transformed in your mind instead of conformed to the world like everybody else around you. In the year that Uzziah died, in this year that people are grieving, in this year when people are finding themselves lost and lonely and depressed in the mire of social media, in this year when sin and fear are gripping the lives of our very own family members and friends, in this year when people's worlds are being rocked by the terrible things that happen, will you go to them? Because this is the year. God has placed us here and now to speak for Him. And having seen this vision of His great glory, and having been cleansed, what other answer can we give than the answer that Isaiah gave? Here am I. O Lord, send me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. May the peace of God that is beyond all understanding guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ to life everlasting. Amen.